Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we officially have the Packers 53-man roster. It is here. It is available. They are slowly building their practice squad throughout the week. We're going to talk about all of it. Surprises, you know, I don't even know what to call it. Surprises, I think, was probably the biggest takeaway there. Players we thought were locks were not locks. So, Perry, let's talk about all of it. How are you doing?
I'm good. I tweeted this out, but like, there's always ginormous Packers news whenever I go to another sporting event. So, like, this year I went to the Mets game, and that's when the Jordan Love contract news dropped. This time I go to the US Open and all of the practice squad and waiver claims and all of everything we're about to talk about happens while I'm at the US Open in 95 degree heat. So it's just inevitable that when I am not sitting at home glued to my phone, crazy things happen. Because I was like, you know, we always think like, oh, when we waive guys, like they're going to get claimed and they never do. And then this year they do. They did get claimed. So we're going to talk about all of it, but we'll go position by position for anyone who wasn't able to see the full roster. You will have all your questions answered, but it really is a year where we, the whole offseason, felt like the Packers' depth was really solid. And I think the cut down day and the waiver claim process kind of solidified that fact, because clearly other teams also coveted some of the depth guys that the Packers didn't even or couldn't keep on their 53. So here we are, lost a few players that I think Packers fans and probably coaches too would have liked to have brought back and couldn't.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think it's interesting because obviously GM speak is, oh, we don't talk about players that are on other rosters. And now some of those players are on other 53-man rosters. But you do have to wonder, anytime you expose a player to waivers, you're assuming that there is a risk associated with that. And we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show when we get to a certain position group. But let's go ahead and get started. Obviously, the quarterback decision, would they keep Sean Clifford or would they keep Michael Pratt? The answer was neither. Sean Clifford on the practice squad, but Jordan Love backed up by Malik Willis, the Packers making a trade with the Tennessee Titans to bring in somebody with a little bit more experience, really mobile quarterback. I don't remember who tweeted it out originally, but somebody said that he's a fun option if you're looking at some of the scout teams that he'll be running against Jordan early on in the season with, you know, Jalen Hurts coming up and Anthony Richardson. So seems to be obviously another developmental quarterback, but one that could win a game a little bit differently for the Packers. So fun prospect that we're hoping doesn't ever see the field in 2024.
Yes, Kyler Murray. they're going to play the Cardinals too early in the season. Yeah, if you had your 53-man roster predictions out early like we did, the very first news that comes out naturally ruined everyone's predictions immediately. But I think to your point, right, a legitimate developmental prospect to back up Jordan Love. We watched all the preseason games. I think not just fans, but clearly coaches as well were a little bit underwhelmed by both backup options, and they didn't feel like either were fulfilling their necessary duties on the field. They did opt to bring Sean Clifford back on the practice squad. Michael Pratt has now signed with the Buccaneers, which is interesting because the Packers don't usually part ways with draft picks within the same year that they draft them, but they did this time and opted for a different draft pick that they did not make. I think Willis has more upside for sure. Just is like a higher ceiling than Pratt. Obviously was taken in an earlier round and should be a fun project for Tom Clements. I just still question if Jordan Love does go down for any length of time. Do the Packers have a quarterback on the roster who can legitimately come in and win a few games down any stretch to keep them like tided over if they're trying to still make the playoffs. That's like in a 4-game stretch or a 5-game stretch if they need someone to go 2-3 or 3-2. I still don't feel that way. Maybe I'll feel differently about Malik Willis after he spent some time in Green Bay, but that's still the question mark for me.
Yeah, I saw it brought up. Oh, again, I wish I remember who had said it, but somebody made the point that it's possible we see Sean Clifford get elevated from the practice squad the first couple weeks of the season since Malik Willis is still learning a playbook. So if it were the case that Jordan Love got hurt mid-game or even needed to take like a series off, guys need to tie their shoes, all those random things that happen that don't have to be injury-related, it might make sense for Sean Clifford to be the informal backup for the first couple weeks with that practice squad elevation until Malik Willis has a little bit more time to kind of learn the playbook and run some of those operations. I thought that was an interesting point. You know, we'll see. The Packers clearly wanted Sean Clifford to come back. We'll talk about the full practice squad at the end of the show, but the moves that they made, of course, not totally comfortable with him as a backup, but still want to keep him in the room.
Yep.
So let's talk about running backs then, because I think this is where things got really interesting. Josh Jacobs, we knew was going to be on the team. Marshawn Lloyd, of course, a former third round pick, working his way back from injury, still on the team, of course. And then Emmanuel Wilson makes the roster, which was really fun. But unfortunately, AJ Dillon ends up on injured reserve and is not designated for return, which I think was incredibly surprising to everybody. But, you know, when you have a stinger or two stingers in your neck within 9 months, I think it's a precautionary measure. And hopefully it's not something that's career ending for him. But the fact that he was on IR without the designation to return, either it is something that keeps him out a full season, or it's something that he's going to take an injury settlement on and then potentially go elsewhere. So really, you know, kind of a shocking decision from the Packers front office there.
Yeah, the not designated to return, I think, is what surprised me more than anything. Like, if he's hurt, he's hurt, right? There's really not much else to be done there. You bring up a good point. Like, we hope it's not career ending. Stingers and neck injuries are really scary and can be really serious. And this is too, like you said, within the last year, especially for a position that is really tough on the body. So I would definitely be curious to see how this plays out over the next like month or so, to your point. But Matt LaFleur did have a really, you know, a lot to say about the AJ Dillon decision. And he seemed very bummed. It felt like, based on his comments, that AJ Dillon was going to make the 53-man roster. He said that they had like a role carved out for him, that they had, he had, you know, plays thought out for him and a role for him on this offense. And now they have to fill that spot. So it sounded like he was going to make the team, which is just like, just all around, things have really gone downhill really fast for AJ. And I find it just sucks. But on the flip side, in positive news, very happy for Emmanuel Wilson. I think of all the guys that we watched in this preseason, he really, really earned his spot on this team. We're going to talk about a few of these guys, I think, who earned their spot on this team, and he's certainly one of them. So I'm excited to see him. And depending on how, you know, Marshawn Lloyd, to your, did not get put on IR. So he will, at some point within the first 4 games of the season, presumably play, but we should be seeing Josh Jacobs and I think Emmanuel Wilson to start the season week 1.
Yeah. And I mean, by that token, that's why we always talk about the Packers finding depth in these tough 53-man decisions and it really being a 69-man roster, 70 if you count the international player. The roster is kind of churning all season, and we're seeing that already in the fact that we thought AJ Dillon was going to be the number two back. And then Marshawn Lloyd gets drafted and we're like, okay, he's probably the second behind Josh Jacobs. And then you enter a world where both of them are injured and Emmanuel Wilson has a great preseason and not only makes the 53, but now, like you said, is in line to be RB2 and probably see some significant playing time the first couple weeks before Lloyd is ready to go. And if Jacobs needs, you know, a spell on the bench. So things change very quickly in the NFL, and really exciting for a guy like Emmanuel Wilson, who worked so hard to get that opportunity. Shifting to the wide receivers, this was the one that I think a lot of us were waiting for to see how it would shake out. We knew that there were going to be 4 locks, and then it would come down, of course, to Malik Heath, Bo Melton, and Grant DuBose. You, on your roster prediction, claimed 7. You wanted to keep all of them, which is fair. I had Grant DuBose as the nod, given that he was a former draft pick. And he's gone. It was Malik Heath that took that sixth and final spot. Very deserved. I think you probably couldn't have gone wrong with any of the three. And Grant DuBose lands in a really, really fun spot in Miami, who was one of the waiver claims. And I think he could see some playing time this season. Not a very deep room. Odell looks like he's starting on the PUP list. So, boy, that's a scary offense for a guy like Grant DuBose to fall into.
Yeah. Such a wild room. We've been saying, like we always say, you know, you're going to cut guys and nobody ever wants your guys. And this year people wanted some of the Packers guys. And like we said, it could have been Malik and it could have been Grant DuBose. It was really like a coin toss. Goot even said, you know, he thought about keeping seven, and ultimately you just have to make decisions around depth players in other position areas. And they ended up not going with seven. And like you said, Miami decided they wanted Grant DuBose on their roster. And yes, he's walking into a really good situation where he very much could play. And he probably wouldn't be playing in Green Bay, right? He would be wide receiver seven. And in that situation, he's very much not going to be wide receiver seven. So I'm happy for him. Excited to see what he's going to be able to do. Happy for Malik Heath. He is, like, I think his just blocking ability is integral in this offense. We've talked about that before. I do want to also just shout out really quick that Bo Melton has, while he has played before, this is the first time that he has made a 53-man roster. He has always been a practice squad guy who has been called up. So it's just really awesome to watch guys like work so hard over the course of years, not just being an undrafted free agent or, you know, coming out and then making a 53 immediately. It sometimes takes a while. And Green Bay is definitely a place that I'm sure agents, you know, tell their clients, like, we want to get you there, because they give guys their opportunities. Look at, we could do a whole episode, I think, on the players that have like made full careers from being undrafted practice squad guys who've gotten elevated to a Green Bay offense or defense and stuck, right? They just happen to be a place like that. So, really excited for Bo. Was always felt like a lock, and they're deep. They're deep at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I think what makes that room so fun is that they're deep without, yes, you could argue, I mean, obviously Wicks is a late round draft pick. Romeo Doubs wasn't, he was a day three guy. So Watson and Reed were significant day two investments, but it's fun when you feel really strongly about players that are undrafted or guys that, you know, maybe wouldn't have latched onto another roster. We said like, oh, are the Packers going to go into the 2024 draft and pick up a wide receiver? The depth that they had just shows how confident they are in all of those guys. And to be able, you know, to even question, like we said, keeping seven, I think just really shows how they felt about the guys and the ones that they brought back on the practice squad, who, again, we'll talk about in just a little bit. I think tight end, probably the most cut and dry here. I think it was the position that we all really kind of expected. Obviously kept Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. And then Ben Sims got the nod as tight end three. Only kept three on the active roster. You know, we kind of thought maybe they would keep a fourth. And Tyler Davis, unfortunately, heads back to injured reserve, is not designated for return. He's out for the season. This time with a shoulder injury, it was the ACL last year. He worked his way back. And now goes on IR again. So just really, really gutted for him to finally get to be on the field and then get injured and have another season potentially taken away from him.
Yeah, really tough. Really tough to see. I'm sure that's a really hard thing to go through and be excited to come back and then get hurt again. This is just a really tough sport on the body. But like you said, very cut and dry, very clear. Ben Sims, I think, was always unquestionably the third tight end, and it is going to be the Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft show this season.
Yeah. I mean, not much to add there. It is Ben Sims is probably going to be a core special teamer. That's what we would expect from him. But offensive line. I think this is where, you know, conversations got really interesting. Would the Packers keep 9? Would they keep 10? We kind of felt like there were 6 locks and then the rest were going to sort themselves out. So the Packers stuck with, of course, their starters, Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom. And then their backups were Andre Dillard, who did end up making the roster, Jacob Monk, Sean Ryan, and then Kadeem Telfort and Travis Glover both latched onto that roster. So instead of trying to decide between some of their tackles like we thought they might, they ended up keeping a chunk of them. They kept multiple guys. So what did you think of how that shook out?
Can never have too many tackles. Yeah, I mean, it felt, I know you and I spent a decent amount of time discussing what direction they were going to go in here. It felt like, and we'll talk about the practice squad later in the episode as well. It felt like they were going to go with the obvious starting five, with Dillard as the swing. And then hard to see them getting rid of either of their draft picks in Monk and Glover because of A, the way we know Goot typically covets his draft picks, as well as just the way they played in the preseason too. Like they played onto the roster. And then watched the kind of Caleb Jones, Kadeem Telfort bowl, if you will, for a backup tackle spot. And it ended up, you know, that Kadeem Telfort got the nod there and he played onto the team. So Caleb Jones is the one that got waived. He ended up also being someone who is now with a different team, which is interesting. I like this. I think it's good depth. I think they have enough tackles and enough interior guys that if, knock on wood, anything were to happen anywhere along the line, you feel confident that they have enough players to slot in where need be, while also having the developmental younger talent to like get somewhere over the next couple of seasons. It's like a nice balance. And I think it was you actually who tweeted, like, it really looks like over the course of this roster, the Packers said, our window is now. And if we're looking at between player A and B and player A is ready to play now, we're going with player A. We're not potentially really going with the developmental guy right now. Like we feel like we can win now and across the roster, and we'll get into defense as well. It really does feel that way. And you can see it, I think, a little bit more glaringly with the Malik Heath versus Grant DuBose decision. You can see it with the offensive line decision. And you see it also with some of the defensive picks that we'll get into too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot to be said when it comes to the practice squad is where a lot of these guys develop. And if you're okay with them potentially being snatched up, we saw, of course, Royce Newman, I wanted to mention, he did get signed by the Buccaneers to their 53. So he was one of the 3 waiver claims that the Packers had snatched away from them. But yeah, I mean, I think the practice squad is full of really high upside and potential, but some of these final roster spots really came down to, in a pinch, these are the guys that we trust that we can trot out there right now and help us win football games to get to the Super Bowl, which is the caliber that we think of the talent on this team. So shifting then to the defensive side of the ball, we will start with the defensive line. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Colby Wooden, Carl Brooks, TJ Slayton. Absolutely no surprises here. We thought it'd be 5. There are 5. The only, I guess, note is that Jonathan Ford here as the 6th lineman was designated for return from injured reserve. So we'll start the season on IR, out for at least 4 games, but then is the lone player eligible to come back?
Yeah. I think this was absolutely the easiest room to predict. 0 surprises, like you said, other than Jonathan Ford, but also remains to be seen what happens when and if he does come back from injury. What they decide to do with him. But I think the one and potentially only room that has been solid and remains solid like throughout the offseason and into this season.
Yep. So let's talk about the edge rushers. This one's really exciting, a lot of fun. You had kept 4. I had kept five. The Packers decided to go ahead and keep six. So this is where I made one of the sacrifices, trimming elsewhere to keep along their edge group. Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, JJ Anagbare, Lucas Van Ness. And then why choose between Brenton Cox Jr. and Aaron Mosby when you can have both of them, which is exactly what the Packers decided to do. So really, really cool for both guys to latch onto the roster. Was glad it didn't have to come down to one or the other as much as we wanted, you know, thought both or one of them could come back to the practice squad. Very cool to see them get the nod, especially for how well they played in the preseason.
I love it. I love it. It's look, as hard it is as it is to watch other guys you like go to other teams, these are the moments where it's really impossible not to be excited for two guys who played exceptionally well in this preseason, who very obviously played their way and earned their spot on this roster. You and I both said easy practice squad candidates, if nothing, like at bare minimum, when we were doing our prediction show. I mean, Aaron Mosby with the strip sack and the interception in his last preseason game against the Ravens, just phenomenal. And now this feels like a position of very high strength going into the season with super depth, which I think in this new defense, you know, again, with a new defensive coordinator, you're also kind of looking at the way that they coveted certain positions and maybe made sacrifices in certain areas. And you're thinking, okay, like this also might be a Jeff Hafley influence and the way that they're going to play and whether he wants a more like defensive front heavy defense, which I think we already know that he does, right? So I love the depth here. I love that both players made this team. I love that Brenton Cox Jr. is also another undrafted free agent from this past season, not this season, but last year, 2023, who has made a team. Again, Green Bay just being a place where UDFAs get their opportunities. So it's great. I love the decision.
Yeah. And if, unfortunately, when you add two rooms, you kind of have to substitute from other rooms. So looking at the inside linebacker group, we had thought maybe there's a world where the Packers keep six. They did not. They ended up keeping five. We knew that it would be Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Edge Cooper, and Tyron Hopper. Those were the four. And then we thought maybe it would be between Eric Wilson and Christian Welch. Packers decided to keep Eric Wilson. Again, probably a nod to a vet. Christian Welch, despite having a really, really fantastic preseason, just didn't feel like enough to get him onto the roster for the Packers. And he had made the decision, it was reported, to not sign to the Packers practice squad. So ending up elsewhere, not wanting to return to Green Bay. And, you know, kind of makes some sense if you're already viewed as linebacker six on the depth chart. Probably hard to get your opportunities and your elevations from the practice squad when the room is so deep, possibly looking at other opportunities around the league where you could actually see some playing time earlier in your career. And then Raylan Goforth, also designated for injured reserve, did not get the ability to return. So he's also out for the season and listed on the Packers IR depth chart.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, they kind of did the obvious thing with the five. Really unfortunate for Christian Welch. I don't really know how much more he could have done in order to make the 53. I think this was just a really deep year. But I did see that he signed with the Ravens. So he is with a team. And I guess they saw what he did against them in the preseason. And they decided they wanted to go get that. But he's a great player who deserves a chance. And unfortunate that it wasn't with the team that I root for, but I'm sure that he will get more opportunities, like you said, somewhere else. There's just too many bodies in this room right now.
And what a room to be with Roquan Smith, to get to learn from that inside linebacking core. That's a lot of fun. All right, looking at the secondary now, kind of went the way that we would have expected here with the safeties to an extent. One glaring surprise. Obviously, the Packers kept Javon Bullard, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Tan Oladapo. And then the shock, I think, of the 53, Zane Anderson gets the nod over Anthony Johnson Jr. We talked about it on the show. We said maybe there's a world where Oladapo gets waived and goes to the practice squad if they feel that they need special team steps. Maybe Anderson creeps onto the roster. But at no point did any of us think that Anthony Johnson Jr. would be the sacrifice. And I think maybe we could have seen the writing on the wall when the Packers drafted three safeties. Maybe that was the indictment in and of itself, was that they felt they needed to overhaul the room. But just a complete shock there for me there.
I was also shocked, just, and again, like, yes, they drafted three safeties, but they needed to. He was the only body. So there was no world where I was like, oh, this is an indictment on him as a player. They just only have him and Zane Anderson in the room. So they need the players. And he had such a great camp. Like, he was playing at some point with the ones, but you really never know what's actually happening inside the building. You never know what the coaches are looking for or what they need. And they made this decision. I don't know. But he was another player that got picked up by another team. He is going to the Giants. Given where the state of that defense is, I am sure he's going to get more playing time there than he would in Green Bay. So good on him, but really, really surprising. Really surprising, because again, this is, he's early in his career, and I thought that there was plenty of development and plenty of opportunity for him in Green Bay as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I agree with you, and I think that is what we're seeing here, is maybe pointing to this urgency that the Packers have. They saw him last season. He was a rookie, he was a seventh round pick. They clearly are not as attached to their seventh round picks as they used to be. We saw it with the Bows, we saw it with Pratt. Maybe it was, hey, we gave you a season. We just feel like we have to turn the page and go in a different direction. And we'll talk about it when we get to the kickers. But
yeah,
Brian Gutekunst had kind of said that he's not as patient with specialists as he used to be. And I'm wondering if that's starting to apply all over the roster, as he's just not as patient. Draft and develop works with your Luke Musgraves and your Jaden Reeds and guys that you see kind of that spark from initially. But there's something to be said about him saying, no, we're going to turn the page here and go with some vested talent because we feel that this team is one player away. And if you can find that player, then it's not worth it to try and develop the bottom of the roster.
I also wonder if they had AJJ in camp and Jeff Hafley got to see all of his pieces, and that wasn't a Jeff pick, right? That was from a former DC, and he said, I have the safeties that I need, and I don't think he fits in the scheme that I want to run.
Yeah, I think that's a very possible point. We saw him getting reps with the ones all camp while guys like Bullard and Williams were coming along, so I'm sure Hafley saw the way he fit next to McKinney and probably thought, well, I'm not sure this is it. Maybe their skills were interchangeable. You know, like, maybe it was something that he didn't give him the body type, or he didn't give him, you know, the vision that he wanted for his defense. So flipping that, talking about the last position group here on the defense is the corners. I think maybe a little bit of surprise here, but the Packers do end up keeping five. They go with, of course, Jaire Alexander, Eric Stokes, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, and then Corey Ballantyne got the nod again over Kalen King, who did return to the practice squad. But once again, we're talking about a high upside seventh round draft prospect who has all the talent in the world. Thought he kind of made some flashes towards the end of the preseason. And the Packers said, no, we're going to take the guy who's been here and won games for us last season.
I think this is, we're going with experience. We need guys who know who have played. And luckily they got Kalen King back on the practice squad, which was, I think this was to me the best case scenario situation, because I wanted all six back. But they said, if we need one of them, we want the guy who played for us last season, started some games for us last season, and we trust out there. It's to, again, to your point, they're a little bit in win now mode, I think, based on this roster construction.
Good. No, we value what the Packers do with draft and develop, and it's always cool to see the homegrown players, you know, really start to ascend and shine and get more opportunities. But it does feel like there's an urgency, and I think part of the urgency is you just paid your quarterback, you're gonna have to pay your wide receivers, you've got a lot of contracts that are coming up, and it's not going to get any less expensive to go in football games. So if you've got a Corey Ballantyne who's not breaking the bank, but it's some really nice insurance for you and can help you win. Same with like an Eric Wilson. You're going to keep those guys on your roster. So shifting then lastly to the specialists, I think probably the most expected move here from cut down day. Kept Daniel Whelan, the punter, kept Matt Orzich, the long snapper. Originally, Greg Joseph had made the 53-man roster over Anders Carlson, but then the Packers claimed kicker Braden Narveson from the Titans and waived Greg Joseph in his place. So also, I'm sorry, this is not necessarily a hotbed topic, but Braden Narveson's going to wear number 44 because it was his college number. And I think that is the weirdest kicker number, and I just don't love it. So already I'm not thrilled about the signing, but we'll see if he can make up for it.
Have you watched any Braden Narveson tape yet?
Just the cut-ups that Andy Herman put on Twitter. So shout out to Andy. Thank you. But I did look at his college stats.
Yeah.
I did look at his college stats, and
he's 100% on PATs.
Right. That part's cool. Field goals, I think he was like 78%, but Anders Carlson was 71% in college. So the arrow is pointing up for the new kicker.
I do think, like, I was a little bit surprised about the Anders Carlson decision. However, the kicker competition was frustrating as hell. I can't imagine how frustrating it was as being Guten Matlafleur, right? So you spend all offseason waiting for somebody to pull away, somebody to show you that they're the guy. Nobody does. And then you hear Gut say, I have basically zero patience for this shit. So it makes a little bit more sense now where he was like, okay, none of you. We're going with somebody else. It remains to be seen if this was a good decision or not. We're going to find out next week, but
yeah. Hope Braden Arvidsson has a passport. Cause that
yeah, man, expedite that if you don't. Okay. I still don't feel great or confident.
Yeah.
But this is one of those things that the coaches and the GM felt this down on the guys that they've had in the building for this long to waive and cut all of them this close to the season and bring in somebody brand new, then we're going to go with it.
Right. This just has to tell you what we all need to know. And, you know, Rich Bisaccia had said, like, we hoped that Carlson could turn into something and maybe he still can, but it's not going to be on the roster at this time. So that answers that. Let's quickly wrap talking about the practice squad here, because I thought it was interesting. Brian Gutekunst's comments, he basically said that they were going to keep 12 players that were with the Packers all training camp. And then they were going to sign 4 bodies from around the league to just kind of mix up the players that they have on the roster. So running through that list as it stands, currently 13 at the time of recording, they're 12 from the Packers and then 1 external player. Kalen King and Robert Rochelle are back at cornerback, which is great. Deslin Alexander and James Esther are both back in the edge D-line room. Lasitas Smith and Donovan Jennings are there at O-line. Alex Hale is the international player. He's available. Sean Clifford, quarterback, still on the roster. Nate McCreary and Ellis Merriweather both came back as running backs. Tight end Mazias Winston is there. And then wide receivers Julian Hicks and Jalen Wayne. So thought it was really interesting looking through this. No safeties, no inside linebackers. So you have to wonder if they thought, you know, Welch or an Anthony Johnson Jr. would come back, and probably those are some of the guys that externally they're going to be looking at is help for the secondary and the inside linebacking core.
Totally agree with you. I think it's interesting that they have room. Like, this is where Gut does some of his best work.
Yeah.
He's getting those street guys, right? And he has now space to work. So I am really, really curious to see what he does with those spots and who he brings on. What positions he goes for. They didn't get anyone on waivers, clearly. And now it's just going to be pickups of whoever's an available free agent. So who knows? It could be the next could be the next Rasul Douglas that they go and get. You just never know. It's always a possibility in Green Bay. But how are you feeling about the roster as a whole going into week one? Because we are officially, as we're recording this on a Thursday evening, we are 7 days out from the season starting, 8 days out from the Packers' first game, and now we know what this roster looks like.
I feel really good. This is probably one of the deepest rosters I can remember from a top to bottom standpoint. And obviously you had, like, in 2019, when we thought they were going to win it all, it was like, oh, sweet. They came in and they made these additions and they brought in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. But Rashawn Gary was a rookie. There wasn't a ton of depth in the rest of the room. Like, you can look at pretty much every spot in this roster and say, oh yeah, there's at least three like dogs. Like, there's really good players at every level of the depth chart. Even a guy like Eric Wilson, right? Who were like, oh, is he could be player 53. You're still comfortable giving him the football. And I think that's what's really telling here is you're not looking, maybe Zane Anderson, you're not looking and going, oh my God, I hope they don't play. But
only because he's invisible.
Right. But I think that's telling, is you're not looking at this going, oh no, there's not a Royce Newman where you're like, ew, I hope it doesn't get to that. Good luck, Bucks.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Royce. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I can't use the Newman gif anymore on Twitter from Seinfeld, but in all seriousness, I agree with you. It's felt this way for the last few months watching this team. And then you look at this roster. And again, we are working with an on paper roster right now. Right. That is it. We will get a lot more information when the season starts and these guys start to actually play, because there are still tons of question marks around the rookies, about the players that we expect to make this next year jump from either their freshman to their sophomore year, their sophomore to their junior year in the league. But as it stands right now, it's a very deep team. It's a team that you should feel confident playing, not just your starters, but your next level down. I don't even call them second stringers because that's not what I mean. Next level down, next man up. And I think that the coaches and all the staff should feel really good about the roster that they've put together going into the season. And if I was an opponent, I'd take this team seriously.
Well said. I think that's a really good way to wrap it up. We'll be back next week talking about the week one game, Packers and Eagles in Brazil. Cannot wait. Look for that to drop next week. And we made it. We made it to football season. We made it through training camp. We made it through the preseason. We made it through roster cutdowns. And all that's left to talk about is the actual games to be played. So you can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast. You can follow Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. You can follow us on Spotify. Please become a supporter if you love what we're doing. Jason Z, you know we love you. We follow you on Twitter. Thank you so much for becoming a supporter of the show. If you're here on YouTube, like and subscribe to the show here as well. Thank you, as always, for listening. And go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go!